Hello and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello and welcome to episode 137, the I Am Not Getting a Cold. Thank you very much episode. I'm not either. I am not. It's trying to get me, but I'm not taking it, you see. I am not responding to its advances. This is going to be a fairly short episode. I mean, not short, not like 5 minutes short, but not long either. In part, that is because I don't have a ton of quilty stuff to talk about. And I know that's never stopped me before, but I also have a ton to do. I am teaching some workshops, which I think I mentioned last week and I talk about in the Quilt Diaries. These are writing workshops for fourth to sixth graders this weekend, this Saturday morning, and the next Saturday morning. And I'm very excited, but I've been having to do a lot of work to prepare for them. The good news is it's a great investment of time because once I have the, I have everything ready. It's Friday, by the way, Friday, March 21st. And the first workshop's tomorrow, so I'm pretty ready for the workshop, but it's taken a lot of time to get ready. But now I'm ready for every workshop coming down the pike. Now I'm going to do a longer workshop in June, a week-long morning workshop with creative writing for creative kids, which means we're going to do lots of neat stuff. I talk about it in one of the Quilt Diaries, so I won't go into that here. The other reason I want to get this podcast posted, even though I don't have a ton to say, is because I received something very wonderful a week and a half ago from a bunch of you, and I want to talk about it, and I want to get on the record as being one who is quite thankful and humbled and by what was essentially a project of love, and I will talk about that in the first Quilt Diary as well. Let me say thanks to everyone who commented on the last episode, which I don't know when I posted. It's been a while. It's been a few weeks, I think. But thanks to Quilt and Jenny, to Tori, to Quilting Piece by Piece, to Kelly the Fifth, and to Shelley Beth. And thanks to folks who emailed me. There were some of you as well emailing about various things, and I appreciate it. Yes, not a ton of comments. I don't know why. Maybe just it took too long. The last episode was really long. Maybe it was too long. I don't know. I also think that when I don't post regularly, I don't get as many comments. But feel free to comment because I do love to hear from you. You can come over to the offkilterquilt.wordpress.com and leave a comment. There will be some pictures for you to look at. I will show you my hexies that I've been cutting out and really enjoying. This is the next block from my sampler quilt. And the comment I got from Quilting Piece by Piece, she linked to a tutorial that she did on making hexagons just using your regular old ruler. Now, I did go ahead and get a hexagon ruler, and I enjoyed it. It is, let's see, who made it? I don't know who made a hexagon ruler. It's a Darlene Zimmerman hexagon ruler, easy quilting from simplicity.com, and it worked very nicely. But I did look at Quilting Piece by Pieces tutorial, and it actually looks pretty easy to just use a regular ruler as well. So if you're interested in seeing that, go to the comments for episode 136 and you will see Quilting Piece by Pieces comment, and in that, embedded in that, is the link. In the Quilt Diaries, I mention a book I just was reading and actually finished, called Francis and Bernard, and the author, who I could not remember when I was talking about it, is Carlene Bauer, B-A-U-E-R. Very good book. I just finished another book. Because I'm fighting off this cold, which I think I'm fighting off pretty successfully, I have rested a lot and read a lot, which is really nice. And I just read this book by this writer named David Dow. And it's called Things I've Learned from Dying, a book about life. Now, he is a death penalty attorney in Texas. So he takes on death penalty cases, and most of which sounds like a pretty futile proposition in Texas. They don't grant a lot of clemency in these cases. But it's a book about three deaths, his dog, which is just, oh, so sad. His father-in-law, I mean, they were all three really sad. His father-in-law, who's very close to, and then one of his clients who's on death row, who a lot of people felt like shouldn't have been executed. And it's such a good book. There's something about, he's a good writer. He writes about his family as well. And of course, because one of the deaths he's talking about is his father-in-law's. But I don't know. There's something that's very sort of, he's kind of tough. And I wouldn't say and tender, but very humane. I don't know. I liked it a lot. And it's not a long book. At least it didn't feel long. I'm going to look on Amazon and I'll tell you how long. It's 288 pages. It did not feel 288 pages long. Anyway, I had heard of this author before. His last book was The Autobiography of an Execution. And now I'm going to read that because this was so good. And I liked his writing so much. So I want to throw that out there. I am still waiting for the new Sarah Addison Allison book to be mine. I think I'm down to like 22 on the wait list for that. So, yes, but that is the nice thing about fighting off a cold, because you do have to rest a lot and you do get to read a lot. So I'm really getting caught up on that. I am going to, I think, just segue right now into the Quilt Diaries. And I hope to be back soon with lots of quilting news to tell you. Yes, that is my hope. That is my dream. That is my vision for all of us. So now, on to the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, day one. It is Monday, March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Did you wear green today? I don't think I did, and I'm fairly Irish. But I really wasn't out very much in the world today. I took the boys to school. I picked the boys up from school, and that's it. I have been working. I'm teaching a creative writing workshop on Saturday for a group of 13 fourth through sixth graders. It's a little, I don't know, big. We'll see how it is. I'm sure they'll be great kids, and I'm not worried about classroom control. It's a lot of kids. We'll see how it works out. I'm excited to do this. I love teaching. And I like working with kids a lot. So I think this is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to have a class of kids who are totally, I'm assuming, totally into what you're teaching. I hope that there's no one coming because their parents force them to. I'll get paid one way or the other, but it's much more fun to have an enthusiastic class. I think I will. But I've spent a lot of time the last two or so weeks really working on the workshop and structuring it and coming up with writing exercises. I'm doing one on the 29th as well. I hope they go well, because they do, I'll do more of them. And I'm already planning to do one this summer, which I'm calling Creative Writing for Creative Kids, where I'm not just going to do writing stuff, but also some art stuff, because I enjoy that. Related to the writing, connected to the writing we're doing, including making books, very simple books, but I love doing that. I think it's so fun. So that's all good. It's keeping me busy. We had spring break last week. We have, as I'm sure I explain every year, a very early spring break, because at Durham Academy, we take the same break as the universities, as Duke and Carolina. I think this harks back to the day when this school was primarily for the children of academics in the area, and now it's not so much. I know maybe one or two families where the parents are professors. A lot of the kids have parents who are doctors at either UNC or Duke Hospital, but that's different. A lot of kids have parents who work in the Research Triangle Park at places like SAS and IBM. So I don't know why we have to continue on with the very early spring break, except there are also a lot of wealthy people. We are not among them. But there are a lot of wealthy people who I think probably like one last winter vacation before the weather turns warm. And so one friend went to the Bahamas. The other friend, Gavin, went to Florida, but his grandparents are down there. If we had grandparents in Florida, we'd probably go to Florida too. We went to Jamestown in Williamsburg, and just a very brief trip, because that's really, when it comes to touring, we can only do it briefly. And we all kind of get tired out, and when it's just me and the man, that's fine. We've always traveled really well together, and we'll tour and then we'll rest and read and nap and tour some more. But with kids, it's a little harder to pull off. But we had a good trip to, and really mostly all we did in Williamsburg was go to the Abby Rockefeller Folk Art Collection. It's actually a very nice art museum. Half of it is folk art, and the other half was Southern decorative art, which was fine, but the folk art was really cool. I saw a lot of good whirly gigs. But we spent the bulk of our 36 hours in Virginia at the Jamestown settlement at the archaeological dig and the recreation, the partial recreation of the settlement, which is actually quite interesting. And it was a nice enough day. It was probably 60 degrees, very windy, so a little cold, but not too bad. So that was spring break. The rest of the time we were here and the boys just did nothing, which they actually really enjoy. We are all really good at lounging around. And then I worked on my workshop stuff. Today, I am cutting out hexagons for the sampler quilt, the latest block that Jay and I are working on. And I got a ruler and I figured out how to use it. So I'm very proud of that because I don't always instinctively understand how to use rulers. I accidentally, at times, stumble upon a new use for a ruler I have. A new to me. The ruler is designed to be used in a particular way, but it's never occurred to me to use it that way until I actually accidentally, the ruler accidentally slips. Like, oh, look what I could do with this. I really would love somebody at Thimble Pleasures or at a quilting convention to do a class on ruler use. I think that would be really cool. I could use it. I'm sure if I went on to like the Missouri Star Company, I bet they have some videos. I probably should check that out. But there's all sorts of things I should probably check out, and I never do. Well, my big news is that last week, Tuesday, almost a week ago, I got a package from UPS. And I'm living frugally. Barbara, I still have not gone into a Target in 2014. That may end this week because I have to pick up some supplies for my workshop, and Target may be the place to go, but it may not. How long can I go? I don't know, but I've got enough toilet paper, Barbara. Do not worry. Barbara's a little concerned about that, but there are other places you can buy toilet paper than Target, although before that's where I bought it. Anyway, so doing the frugal thing, which also means not ordering very much online, allowing myself $20 to spend on books a month, which for me, was not a lot. And the UPS man walked up my block, up my sidewalk. I thought, well, I wonder what the man ordered. It must be nice to be able to order stuff and get it delivered. I love getting stuff in the mail. I love getting stuff delivered. So anyway, I opened my door and it was to me, which was really exciting. And I thought, oh, it must be from Simon & Schuster, because sometimes if my books are reprinted, I will get they will send me 10 copies of the reprint, and which is nice. So I figured it was that, but it wasn't Simon and Schuster. And then I realized it was Daisy. Now, Daisy, this is a Lazy Daisy Quilts. I'm sure you listen to her podcast. If you don't, you should. She had emailed me the week before saying that she wanted to send me something. And I kind of thought it would just be something, like a bookmark. That's what I was thinking. A bookmark, really, honestly, I was thinking bookmark. Or just something fun and little, just kind of let's get a mail thing going. And I love mail. And, I don't get a lot. Every once in a while, and I have to say, every once in a while, one of you will send me something. I've recently gotten a book, which is great, and from Sue. And sometimes one of my fellow podcasters will send me something. And sometimes people are very kind about giving me fabric for my mosaic blocks or what have you. So I do, from time to time, get a surprise in the mail, which is just delightful to me. I love that. But I really was not expecting much other than a pressed Daisy from Daisy. Wouldn't that be neat? And that would have thrilled me to death. But here's this box. And I thought maybe she's sending me fabric. maybe I missed an episode where she said, you know what, everybody? I am doling out all my stash, so everybody's going to get a pound of fabric. Maybe I missed that when she said that. Well, I brought the box in, and I opened it up, and there was a big white bag. My goodness, what's in here? And you know what it was? It was a quilt. A beautiful quilt composed of many swoon blocks. And it turned out made by many quilters for me. And apparently Miss Daisy was the coordinator, was the force behind this project. But when she heard about my mom getting sick last summer, she thought we should make Frances a quilt. Because, you know, that's what quilters do. And so she organized it. She got people, all these, I think she emailed people. It's the Twilters. These are the quilters who are on Twitter. Sometimes I'm one, sometimes I'm not. Right now, I'm actually not doing the internet for Lent, although I broke that to go on Twitter last week to say, oh my goodness, the quilt is here, and it's beautiful. And it is beautiful. And I'm going to have, of course, pictures on the blog. It is a queen-size quilt. I have got it on my bed. I cried. Do you know, I really did. I was so overwhelmed. I'm like feeling myself tearing up right now as I speak of it. But anyway, so she put out the word. I think she emailed as many people for whom she had emails. I think I said, do you want to do this? And people did. And I will actually, I don't have the card with me. It's upstairs and the man's taking a nap, but I'll get it later and I'll read everybody's name. But a lot of people, it was the most beautiful thing. And the quilt is beautiful. And Daisy quilted it and has this amazing binding. And I believe Pam from Hip to Be the Square. I don't know if Pam did blocks, but I think she provided the backing. So that's quite a contribution to the project. But yes, isn't that beautiful? And I think after she heard about my mom's stroke, and by the way, you'll be happy to know my mother is doing very well. She is... She's a little cantankerous right now because of the stroke, even though it was a very mild stroke and she fully recovered, she can't drive until May. And that woman is ready to hit the road. I mean, my dad will drive her, but you know, it's not the same when you have to ask someone to drive you places, especially when it's my dad, who is lovely and is a very fine driver. It's not that, but he's also very protective. So, you know, I could see him going, well, Jane, somebody out there might have a cold. I don't think we should go out, you know? And he would be like, he's just a very protective person, and it is cold and flu season, and my mom doesn't need to be exposed to a lot of germs. But nonetheless, it's easier, I'm sure, for her just to sneak out. while my dad's not looking, pop out in the garage, get in the car, and go to the quilt store. But obviously, I think a woman who's feeling ornery because she can't drive is feeling pretty good. But when Daisy heard about my mom's stroke, I think people had been sending blocks. And I feel, you know, it's very hard to go far back on Twitter because there's so much every day coming into your account. But I feel like I actually saw people posting, they're swoon blocks. And I felt like, oh, there must be some project going on. You know, some class, something on Craftsy. Because I feel like I saw people posting swoon blocks. Just have to say, maybe I'm imagining that, but that's what I thought. Swoon blocks. Weren't people posting pictures of swoon blocks on Twitter? Well, yeah, maybe they were. So anyway, so everybody who contributed, thank you very much. It's really just one of the most beautiful things I've ever been given, I have very rarely been so moved in my life. And of course, Daisy, a huge... huge thank you to Daisy, because I know she, as many people said, many other people told me that Daisy was really the wind beneath their quilting wings. So what an amazing thing, isn't it? What an amazing community. I talked about this last time, about this community, which, it's just a lovely, lovely group of people. So, but if you are quilting and you're listening to podcasts, A lot of folks are on Twitter, and it's fun. Again, as I've talked about before, Twitter is a little overwhelming for me, and sometimes I get into it, and other times I just like, I can't, it's too much. But what a lovely thing. What a lovely thing. And I do love getting presents, and this is, I'm not hinting, so send me presents. No, but I'm saying, you know, and sometimes you do, and it's so neat when you get something out of the blue, and it's, amazing when you get a quilt. And it is on my bed. I've slept under it every night since I got it. Well, except when we were in Jamestown. I didn't take it with me. But and it's great. And the man loves it too. It's just a beautiful quilt. Yay. So thank you. So where I'm in quilting, I'm just started cutting out my hexes, and then I'm going to have to sew them together with the Y seam. I won't say the dreaded Y seam, but I think it's been a little while since I've attempted one. And of course, I need to get all my sampler quilt blocks out, because I think at this point I've sort of lost the color scheme. And I'm trying to put this block together. I haven't started sewing, but I'm cutting out the pieces, and I thought, oh, well, I'll do a red and white block. And I was thinking, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to redo every block I've done red and white, because I love red and white. When we were at the Abby Rockefeller Folk Art Museum, one of the things they had right when you walk in, it's so cool. I love it. It's a humongous dollhouse. I was about to say dollhouse, like total rich girl dollhouse. I mean, so it's just huge. It's like, I don't know, it was probably 6 feet long and 4 feet high, and really big rooms and big furniture. But one of the rooms was quite lovely. It was the master bedroom, I think, and it was red and white. It had a red and white quilt on the bed, and I'm trying to think if I don't think the curtains were red and white, but they were either red. I think they were red, and then there was a neat hand-woven rug, red and white rug or whatever. I'm starting to make things up, but anyway. But it just made me think again. It's like how much I love red and white, and I like my Irish chain quilt. I wish it didn't. Wasn't quite so off kilter as it is. I really just need to do the rebinding. I have lost my bindings in. Have you ever done that? It's like when you get to the join, and I used to know how to do that, and now I don't. I don't. I need to get out a book or watch a tutorial or something, because I have lost my bindings in, and that's a big part of why it looks so off kilter. It's still a great quilt, and it's red and white. And I have not lost my red and white zest. And red and white's a couple years old. I mean, it's hundreds of years old. It's eternity old. But as far as that, the big show, well, it's been a while. I feel like maybe it's been 3 years since that big show in New York with the red and white quilts. And still, my eyes just drink it in. Well, I hear Jack moving around upstairs, which means he's going to come downstairs to get a snack and glare at me because, he's 14, almost 15. Two of his best friends just turned 15. His friends, Aiden and Spencer, whose moms are two of my best friends because we met in prepared childbirth. So, boy, next year, 16, I'm sure we'll all get together and just drink. Jack starts driver's ed in 2 weeks. Frightening. Yeah. Anyway, so I will be back. I'll be back with my list of twilters because I do want to give everyone their props. And I will be back hopefully with more hexy news. I haven't done any quilting in a couple weeks. I've been so focused either on working on my workshop or I've been reading a lot. Oh, wanted to tell you, I just finished a novel called Frances and Bernard. And the author is, I can't tell you who the author is, but it's a novel. Just go by Frances and Bernard. And it's based on the friendship between Flannery O'Connor and Robert Lowell. They met, I think, at Yaddo, which is a big, artist's colony. And they were friends. And I think in real life, that Flannery O'Connor may have had a kind of crush on Robert Lowell, the poet, but I don't think it was ever any kind of romance. And in this book, it becomes a romance, and they're characters who are based on Flannery O'Connor and Robert Lowell. The interesting thing is that the Frances, the Flannery O'Connor character, actually is from Philadelphia, and which at first it was sort of off-putting to me. It's like, oh, you should have made her from the South. That would have been so interesting. But A, if this writer herself is not Southern, she may not have felt comfortable. And B, where she takes the friendship, which is into kind of a romance, I think it's better that she distanced Flannery from the South. Not that Southerners aren't romantic, but I think that
It's hard to imagine Flannery O'Connor and the kind of romance that ensues. And so I think it's good that you remember this is not Flannery, this is Frances. She's from Philadelphia. She's very Flannery-esque. She's Catholic. She's very serious Catholic. And when she and Bernard first meet, he has recently converted, although he hasn't. Robert Lowell was manic depressive and would have episodes and was in and out of hospitals. And he has a bad episode and loses his faith. So anyway, that happened in real life. It happens in the book. But it's a wonderful book, and it's told in letters. It's these letters that they write each other, and he also writes his best friend, and she writes her best friend, and a couple other people, and sometimes she writes his best friend. And it's one. The letters are wonderful. They're wonderful, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a fairly short book, and the ending is beautiful. So Frances and Bernard, if I think of it, and I never do think of it, I don't know, I say I'll do this, but I'll put a link on the blog in case you're interested. But I really, really like that. Yes. Okay. Well, I'll be back with more Hexy news and other things soon, I hope. Quilt Diary Day 2, except it's not. I recorded a day 2, and then last night, as I was putting the podcast together, I could not find my day 2 file. I don't know what happened. It's possible I recorded it and forgot to push the record button. That's very possible. So really, this is weird, because this is being recorded after I recorded the introduction. So is it day 2? Is it day 3? Is it day none? It's not really Quilt Diary. I don't know. And the problem is, I don't really recall what I talked about. It's just yesterday, but I did this writing workshop today, this morning, with 13 exuberant 4th through 6th graders. And it was a lot of fun, but as you might imagine, me being the introvert that I am, I'm like zonked. I got up pretty early, too, because I wanted to just make sure everything was where it needed to be, and I was where I needed to be, and it all worked out really well. And most of the kids were 4th and 5th graders. There were 2 6th grade girls, and it was interesting because I felt like they were so much more mature than the 4th and 5th graders. Not that the 4th and 5th graders were wildly immature, but there was such a difference. You can tell they're kind of, I think there's such a gap between 6th and 7th grade. I think 6th and 7th graders is just like, just a different world. And I recall that experience for myself. And I see it. And I think that these girls who were lovely, but you could see they were almost like, you know, it's almost April, 6th grade year. They're headed toward the gap. I could see that. But we had fun. And in fact, everybody wants to do another workshop. I told them they were my guinea pigs because I've never done a 3-hour workshop before. And I knew that it was either going to be we were going to get through everything so fast that we were going to be stuck like with an hour and a half of nothing to do. I mean, I would make stuff up, but we'd have to wing it, or else we wouldn't get through half of what I had. And it turned out we didn't get through half of what I had. And, you know, there was a lot of talking, and it was fun, and I learned a lot. And I'm actually doing another workshop next week, and there's certain things I'm going to do differently from what I learned this week, what worked really well. And, I mean, everything worked fine, but I think I need to get out of the chute a little faster and get into some writing exercises a little faster. And we were doing a story-building workshop, and so we did a lot of lists and free writing, but not actual story writing. And I think that they would have liked to have done a little more actual getting started on their stories. And so I want to make time for that next week, cut down on some other stuff or shorten some of the other exercises so that they can actually get writing and sharing. But this group today, they want to do another workshop together. And so I'm emailing their parents and saying, all right, let's do another workshop. And I actually, about an hour or two after the workshop, after I got home, I checked my email, and there was an email from the mom of this wonderful, totally cool, totally funny girl. I can't believe she's just a 5th grader. Her name is Charlotte, and she's smart, and just, you can tell, just coolest, just total geek-leaning cool girl. And her mother emailed, said, "You guys must have had a great morning because all she's doing is talking about this workshop." I'm like, yay. So that's good. That was good feedback. And I asked, I'm composing this email right now to send to the kids and their parents saying, you know, give me feedback and be honest. What exercises did you like? What did you like the least? I'm like, I really need to hear your feedback if I'm going to, you know, get better at this. So I hope they will. And of course, I hope that it's 99% positive. Because I don't want to get my feelings hurt. But it would be good to hear. It's like, yeah, we got a little slow here. I wish we had had time to do this or that. Anyway, yes, I'm exhausted. And that's why I don't remember what I talked about yesterday. I finished cutting out all my little hexies for the overall big hexie. And Jay and I are going to Skype Monday or Tuesday. And I hope tomorrow is going to be a quilty day. I plan to go to church and, you know, do some laundry. Next week, I have another workshop coming up next Saturday, and I will need to do a little work to get ready for that because I do want to revise some of the stuff from this week. Not a ton, but I feel like I'm not going to have to do tons and tons of work. I also have to do some prep work for a thing I'm doing in Missouri in 2 weeks, some presentations I'm doing in classrooms that I've already started on. So I have to do that, but I'm really hoping to do some spring cleaning because my house really needs it. And I thought I was going to do that over spring break, and I didn't, just because I was working on other stuff. And, you know, one day, my friends, I'm going to be able to afford, I want a monthly house cleaner. I want someone to come in once a month and just do like the total thorough clean, you know, like really get the floors and really just get the kitchen just top to bottom clean. You know, because usually by the time I get the kitchen clean, I'm just spent. I don't have time for the other stuff. It's not even being spent. It's just a matter of time. So that's my dream. But until then, I have to do it. I think I'm going to get the carpet cleaner in. I've kind of been holding off until we get past the muddy season, but I can't stand our carpet anymore. And but tomorrow, my whole point is tomorrow, I want to work on some quilty stuff. I've cut out all those hexagons for the big hexagon, but I need to actually try sewing them together so Jay and I can talk about that and see what kind of problems I have and practice my Y seams, as well as do another New York Beauty and see if I can make this one square. So yes, that is a dream I have for tomorrow, just a relaxing sewing day. And then next week, do what I have to do and get the house cleaned up and also maybe do some sewing as well. Anyway, good day, but this is just mostly I'm just on here to sort of finish up and say thanks for listening and leave a comment. I would love to hear from you. I really would. I like hearing from you. And yes, and we will just move onward, forward, keep quilting. What's my motto now? Life is short. Quilt more. I don't know. I have to look back because I like that motto, but I apparently have not memorized it. But yeah, quilt more. Quilt more. What? Do something less. Quilt more. Clean less. Something like that. All right. I will see you next time. Bye. This is a PS. Is this a second PS? I can't remember. I'm tired. Tired, but this needs to happen. I need to get this posted, but I did want to actually say thank you to each and everyone who participated and contributed with the making of this quilt, which, by the way, is not a swoon quilt. I think before I talked about swoon blocks, it's scrapitude. Sorry about that. Anyway, let me say thank you to everyone. Sonia, to Darla, to Kelly, to Marianne, to Sandy, Hera, to Katie R., to Jen, to Carol Wool, to Tina, to Carol McDowell, to Gretchen, to Nisha, Ethel, Diane, Amy H., Daisy, F.W., Stephanie H., Noni, J., Valerie, Emily, Laura, Zena, Pam from Hip to Be a Square, Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us, Sandy from Quilt Cabana Corner, Katie Ringo from Katie's Quilting Corner, and the amazing Daisy F. from Lazy Daisy Quilts. Yes, thank you, all of you, for giving me one of the best presents I've ever gotten, ever. Thank you. And now I'm signing off.